It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Wednesday to you. It's the middle of the week. Today is hump day. I'm going to try my best to get you over the damn hump, okay? I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours, but this is a 4-hour show. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. Hey, thank you to Connor. Connor's helping out, too. There's people hanging out doing a radio show. Good for us. For you. Because without you, there ain't no damn show. Thank you. Anyway, you've already talked about a lot. Where you been? We showed some love to the Detroit Tigers, advancing to the divisional round of the American League playoffs, knocking off everybody's favorite team, the Houston Astros. They beat them 5-2. They got Cleveland up next. We got some other games that are currently in action right now, this minute, this second. Kansas City, they lead Baltimore 2-1 in the bottom of the seventh. The New York Mets have a chance to eliminate the Milwaukee Brewers. That game is about 40 minutes away. And then tonight, San Diego has a chance to get rid of Atlanta. San Diego leads their series 1-2-0. Here on this show, we're going to keep things rolling. We talked about the Tigers. We got into Devontae Adams and his trade situation. Antonio Pierce is the new Bill Belichick without the accolades. He doesn't know anything about nothing. Antonio, how old are you? I don't know. I'm thinking about Denver. Antonio, did you talk to Devontae today? I talk to him all the time. Well, today, I'm thinking about Denver. Obviously, he is only thinking about the Denver Broncos and nothing else. Devontae Adams, well, he still isn't playing with his hamstring issue. And a matter of fact, Antonio Pierce, he didn't even have an answer for that. It's like, hey, I'm not asking you about your Instagram usage. Antonio Pierce, did you talk to Devontae Adams today? Give me an answer. Listen to what Antonio Pierce had to say for that. He's supposed to be is he in the building? Antonio Pierce could go into politics. He don't answer no questions. Is the sky blue? Well, let me tell you about my background first, okay? No, is the sky blue? Well, I've been doing this for years. Oh, man. Antonio Pierce for president. What year are we in? 2028. Yeah, put him in there. Can't tell the truth for nothing. Anyway, speaking of telling the truth, Robert Saleh and this is guy's name, Aaron Rodgers, they continue to lie to the public about their relationship. You would think they go apple picking, going to the pumpkin patch up in New Jersey somewhere right now. But no, they're just trying to win games for the New York Jets, telling everybody that they get along. They don't. Aaron Rodgers saying that they get along. I'm sure that's not true. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers can't stand him. Hickey, who does Aaron Rodgers talk to him about behind his back? Like, who's he calling?
Definitely Randall Cobb. I think he's pretty tight with him.
Okay, yeah, you found a friend. Okay.
He's tight with Alan Lazard. You think they, you know, teammates he'll talk about? Probably, right? So you can relate, like, you know, oh, Robert, remember what he said in the meeting today? What an idiot.
Oh, he's worse than Mike. Right? This guy's worse. Where did you get this guy from? San Francisco? Oh, he's worse than Mike McCarthy. What are we doing here?
Remember when Mike was skipping meetings for massages? Boy, we thought that was bad. Yeah, Robert Saleh speak. We wish he would skip this meeting.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I don't know anybody else who Aaron Rodgers would talk to, but yeah, you found two guys.
David Bakhtiari right there was pretty tight.
He's in rehab on his knee. Is he retired? Where is he? Is he playing?
I don't think he's playing.
Man. Injuries suck. So I just talk, Hickey. My body hurts and I don't do anything.
That's true.
Stand here and talk. Hard knock life. Anyway, 855-212-4227. Speaking of a hard knock life and injuries, Christian McCaffrey is like, I'm going to call him a term. And by the way, Vincent Bonsignor is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We're going to have a whole chat about the Raiders. He helped break the story. He broke the story that Devontae Adams was open and looking for and seeking and fine with a trade. And so we'll have that chat with Vincent Bonsignor in about 15 minutes. He's going to come through and join us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. But before we get there, let's talk about Christian McCaffrey. The man who has yet to be seen for the San Francisco 49ers, a place where Rob Saleh used to be the defensive coordinator. The 49ers are 2-2. Throughout the course of the season, they've had to deal with a multitude of injuries on their offense, like almost every star player. Whether it's Kittle or Purdy or Debo, obviously McCaffrey. Everybody's been knocked around except for Ayuk. And it appears that last week this man had a whole fit about changing his pants and his shorts at practice. The 49ers look vulnerable this year, right? Especially if they don't have no Christian McCaffrey. This guy's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the few running backs to have a season where he hauled in more than 1,000 yards receiving, had 1,000 yards on the ground. He was the offensive player of the year. He's done it all except for hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy. And he comes from a long line. The McCaffreys, you think you got an athletic family? You think you sit around at Thanksgiving and talk about grandpa throwing a football and your brother, what he did at the high school team? There's nobody I know like the McCaffreys. Man, LeBron James has some work to do before he even gets to this level. We all know about Ed McCaffrey. Ed McCaffrey winning them championships with the Broncos and out there with Terrell Davis and John Elway throwing him the ball a million times. Even got a Super Bowl championship with the 49ers for standing around and pushing people. Hickey, do you have genes like Ed? I mean, you got to wait to have kids first, but Ed McCaffrey has Christian. He got the kid who's playing for Washington right now. That guy, Luke. He got another son who played wide receiver, Max, who's now coaching the Dolphins. He had a son, Dylan, who was like the number two ranked quarterback in the country, went to Michigan. Ed is a Super Bowl champ. Christian McCaffrey is one of the best running backs ever. Like Hickey, this is just on the dad side. What the hell is this? What are they feeding him?
I would love to know. And I can, to answer your question, guarantee I do not have those genes.
Okay.
No siree.
And Ed McCaffrey himself, he has four siblings. Okay? He has a sister who played college basketball at Georgetown. He has a brother who played college basketball at Duke. His wife, Ed McCaffrey's wife, the Christian and the boys, the mother, Lisa, she is the daughter of an Olympic sprinter. This is Hickey, come on, man. Did they do this on purpose? No, not right? Like, athletes typically want to be with athletes, but, like, this is an extreme here.
That feels like a cheat code.
That's how we got, I don't know, Shohei Ohtani. What did his parents do? Did they play baseball?
That's a great question. Has to be.
Come on. That's like Victor Wembanyama. I know Victor, both of his parents, didn't they play basketball?
I mean, that's how you get to 7'4" and growing.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah, I didn't think Victor Wembanyama's mother was a jockey. She plays basketball. She played basketball. I think she's a coach now. This is crazy. And so who better to talk to about Christian McCaffrey than his dad? I don't know. I think everybody in the family, they wake up and they put creatine in their coffee. That's what I think. Christian McCaffrey has been gone. They say he has Achilles tendonitis. His calf is bothering him. He's on injured reserve. They said it's not just one leg. Now it's both legs because most people know if you injure one part of your body, then the other part overcompensates and now both of his legs hurt. Makes me hurt thinking about it. And so what gives? This man is making all this money. Matter of fact, he's 27 years old. The 49ers just gave him a contract extension. He got 2 years and $38, almost $40 million added to his deal. He's around until 2027, at least on paper. He's in his prime. What the hell is going on with him? Well, his dad, Ed, he sat down on the Ross Tucker podcast, and he basically told everybody, well, my son Christian, he works too hard. Listen to this.
Tendonitis is an overtraining injury, meaning you're training too hard or doing too much. and it turns into tendonitis. And, you know, if I would say Christian has a weakness, it's that he, you know, sometimes has to protect himself from himself in terms of training too much and doing too much. And so he, you know, we've already had that discussion. You know, next off season, we need to reevaluate what you're doing. Because, but it's hard, you know, you just came off a offensive player of the year, you know, record setting historic performance, and you've been doing what you've been doing, right? But maybe going all the way to the Super Bowl, losing another month of football because of the extra games, and you know, having that burning desire to get back to a Super Bowl and win it, right? You know how that motivates you in the off season. Maybe, you know, you do have to dial it back, but it's so hard to tell them to dial it back.
I get it. Hickey, I understand what happened. He needs to go back to the Carolina Panthers. That's it.
Have all that motivation just wiped away?
All the motivation is wiped away. He doesn't have to worry about the extra, I don't know, two or three, four football games. He gets to know that his season ends like maybe right after New Year's. He knows he doesn't have to play any more football. He's golden. Like, that's the problem. They sent Christian McCaffrey to a good football team that's worth a damn. And now he's working too hard. If he goes back to the Panthers, he even gets less football. Like, that's the problem. And we know these guys, he makes a lot of money. You know, Ed McCaffrey looked like he was no giant human being. He was tall, thin, and very strong. He was jacked to the gills given his size. He wasn't, you know, some incredible Hulk-looking wide receiver until you looked at his muscles. He make a lot of money. You can rest. I thought rest everybody knew. You got to rest. I mean, I expect we can see him back at the end of the season if all it is an overuse injury. But damn, the 49ers need him. They got the Cardinals next. They should beat them. Cardinals are just, they're up, they're down, they're here, they're there. But damn, Christian McCaffrey, get it together. LeBron James, all these stories about how he goes to dinner in Normatec boots, eats the best of food. And Tom Brady lasted forever by not eating nightshades, no potatoes, and no tomatoes. I don't know what a weird guy that guy is. Hickey, why are they paying him so much money?
Because it's Tom Brady. Because I guess they bought some of that weirdness.
Does it make a difference, though? Are the ratings going to change because of him?
No. No. Although he made some news this week with the whole Baker feud I almost played for the Bears sort of thing. So something-ish.
No. Nope. I haven't listened to him yet. Every game has been on mute or been a blowout. No need to watch Tom Brady yet. Ask me when the Super Bowl comes around. Who has a Super Bowl this year? Do you know? Doesn't matter if you don't. Who knows?
I don't. I feel like it is Fox, though. I think it is Fox.
When he does have a Super Bowl, mate, that's when it's going to matter. Because the next day, people are going to make fun of him. Either way, it'll be like, hey, that guy Tom Brady on the Super Bowl, he sucked last night. Isn't that the guy who used to throw the... Oh, he calls the games now? Oh, he's not very good. Random people in America will say that. Anyway, hey, good luck to Christian McCaffrey. It's in his genes. It's in this guy's genes. He probably has Wolverine genes. I go sit him in the bathtub for a few hours, let him soak, and take him out. Have legs like brand new. And the 49ers, they'll be fine. Christian McCaffrey will be fine as well. And thank you, Ed McCaffrey. I haven't heard this man speak in about, I don't know, 20 years. Thank you for telling us about how much your son works. It's what a good father does. Now he needs to get some money from his kid. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, Vincent Bonsignore is going to join us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He'll break the news about Davante Adams and his future, the fact that he is ready to move on. What does this mean for Davante? Where is his likeliest landing spot? And then for the Raiders, where the hell are they going to land? Besides the bottom. We'll talk to Vincent Bonsignore about this on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of a break, I got a break for you. Sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health, it's a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. You can learn more at depend.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Hey, thank you so much. Everybody out there, if you're helping somebody, I don't care, hospital, a patrol car, whatever you're doing, thank you. We all appreciate you. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, this has really populated the everything, the internet, the television, the radio over the past 2-3 days. It's the situation going on in Vegas right now involving Davante Adams. And someone who helped break this story and get the word out about this trade and what the future might hold is Vincent Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's joining us right now to give us some insight as to how we got to this point and where we possibly might go after this. Vincent, thank you for taking the time to join us.
You got it. Thank you for having me.
Now, we saw this just kind of pop up, and it feels like the writing has been on the wall, even dating back to training camp, where there were rumors of Davante moving, and it was always, no, he's not going. Oh, I'm not going anywhere. How did we get to this point? Are you surprised?
No. I'm not surprised. I could, you know, going all the way back to when Derek Carr, you know, one of the principal reasons why Davante Adams came to Las Vegas to play for the Raiders and to play for the Raiders team that he grew up rooting for and be closer to his, you know, Northern California base where his family was able to come down and watch games, you know, every time they played in Las Vegas, was also to play with Derek Carr, his good friend and former Fresno State teammate. So, but going back to when Derek Carr was ultimately moved on from, from the Raiders, you know, that obviously removed one of the components that even brought Davante here to the Raiders. From that moment on, while Davante was always on board, wanted it to work, was determined to be part of the reason why the Raiders got turned around, you know, his childhood team, all of those reasons, he was willing to give it time and to see if this was going to work, you know. But at the same time, there was always an underlying sense of, but I'll give it time, just in my reporting anyway, but at some point it could get to a point where, you know what, this just isn't working. And he always reserved the right to change his mind and say, look, you know, it's just not working. And I only have X number of years left in my career. I want to maximize those remaining years that I have left to play. And doing that means competing for championships and playing in important games and being on teams that are, I could help get to the playoffs. And that's not happened here with the Raiders. And it's dubious that it's going to happen this year, which would be a third wasted year at the tail end of his career. So he always reserved the right to say, you know what, it's not working. And in my even in my reporting, and I wrote this literally the day after Carr got moved on from or benched, and I think at that, in my reporting said, if he ever made that call to the Raiders, there's good enough will between the team and the Raiders where they would accommodate him. And so it's taken a little time, and that represents the heart that Davante has had in this and trying to get this turned around. But it kind of came to a point, I think, where maybe some other issues played into it, but primarily Davante looked at the future with the Raiders here this year, and it doesn't look like, you know, what he wants it to look like in terms of, look, we're going to be playing in the playoffs. We're going to be going, knocking on the door of the Super Bowl. We're one of those teams. It's just not happening. And for those reasons, I think he's kind of gotten to the point where, you know, it's time to move on. So it's not really a surprise. I wouldn't say that it was inevitable that it would get to this point, but certain things didn't happen in terms of the quarterbacks of the Raiders would have loved to have had in here, i.e. a Jaden Daniels, maybe a Tom Brady, that year after moving on from Derek Carr. Things haven't worked out at quarterback, and that's a big reason why they haven't had the success that they have wanted. And so, Davante has gotten to that point, which was always a possibility.
Vincent Bonsignor is joining us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Why this week and this time specifically? I think anybody could have looked at their quarterback situation over the summer. People could have looked at the rumors. Why this week? Why these past few days after a victory against the Browns? Is it something to do with the injury? Why now?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, based on my reporting, the relationship between Antonio and Devontae hasn't been going so well. I'll just, you know, kind of leave it at that. So I think that that's played something, you know, into it. And, you know, there's been some peculiarities, I would say, going all the way back to training camp when Devontae, you know, was out for 2 weeks. For a great reason, it was the birth of his son, but that seemed unusually long for that. Then, you know, they were at odds on whether he would play in the last preseason game. You know, Antonio Pierce said, well, if you're healthy, you're going to play. And at that point, Devontae was healthy, and literally the next day, he's out of practice with some sort of a leg issue and didn't play. And so there was, you could tell that there was a little bit of a tug of war going on right there between the player and the coach. And I also wouldn't rule out, you know, some of the recent comments that Antonio has made, specifically the business decisions being made on the field against the Panthers a couple of weeks ago, that may have rubbed Devontae the wrong way. And so I do think that the deterioration of their relationship has also kind of contributed, as maybe expedited the whole thing. But I wouldn't say that would be the sole reason. I think it was kind of the way the team has been constructed, the way they kind of struck out on going and tried to trade to go get Jaden Daniels. That was the guy that the Raiders really wanted, but it was really hard, and really, not even put it hard, it was impossible to move from 13 to number 2, which is where the Washington Commanders were. There was no way that they were going to trade that far down. They loved Jaden just as much as the Raiders did. So when certain things didn't work out on the quarterback front, mm-hmm. Now you have this deteriorating relationship between Antonio and Devontae. That may have been all. You throw all of that together, and it may have gotten to a point where, why are we even wasting our time? And I would say this too: this isn't just a Devontae thing. I think that there's mutual interest in moving on. And so whether it was Devontae came to them first and said that he would refer to a trade, or as I reported early yesterday, the Raiders being more open to trading Devontae Adams and already starting to make some calls to gauge interest around him in the league, it felt kind of like they arrived at the same exact place at the same exact time.
Wow. Hey, Vincent, I love a good beef. Thank you for breaking it down. I appreciate that. I love that. Now, speaking of Antonio Pierce, we heard him today play the I don't know nothing, we're on to Denver, I don't know, social media, nothing, I'm on for Denver, is he rehabbing here in the building, he's supposed to be, we're on to Denver. How is he being received, A, by the fan base, and then also the locker room right now? This is early to have a beef when you just became a head coach full time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think today, the way he handled everything today, while it was probably frustrating for the fans who want all the juicy little details, and, you know, for people like ourselves that, you know, appreciate the honesty that he's had, you know, and the frankness that he speaks with. But I actually think, you know, looking at this logically and honestly and putting myself in, you know, the shoes of others, I thought the way he handled today, which was to basically say, I'm not answering your questions, I'm on to the Denver Broncos, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm not going to talk about Devontae Adams or the, you know, the social media posts or anything like that. We're moving on to Denver. I thought was some growth on the part of Antonio Pierce. Wow. Look, it's great that he spoke with brutal honesty sometimes, but I think that he needed to understand that you can't always say whatever pops into your head as the CEO of a team, and you're responsible for 53 men in a locker room. And depending on what you're saying out there at the podium, you know, might be construed a certain way or taken a certain way, you know, or received in a certain way of, okay, you could have just told me that. You didn't have to announce it to the entire world, right? And I think he's learned that lesson a little bit. And look, in Antonio's defense, he's been completely honest about the fact since the day he got this job, I don't have all the answers. I'm new to this. There's going to be a learning curve. I'm going to try to get better as we go along here, but I'm not I don't have all the answers right now. This is all new to him, you know, being the head coach. And I mean, he was a linebackers coach for 1.5 years in the NFL before he got the head coaching job. So for anyone to not think that there was going to be a little bit of a learning curve, that was naive on their part. And nobody really that covers the team thought that there aren't going to be some missteps along the way. And so, frankly, I've seen some growth. Even as the week went on last week, as you sort of, you know, dealt with the aftermath of the business decisions questions, by the end of the week, everything was, look, that's between my team and myself. And then even on Sunday after the game, he apologized for even starting the firestorm that was kind of self-inflicted by even mentioning that publicly, that there were some players that were making some business decisions, right? So within a week's time, I think he kind of came to the realization, like, I can't just say whatever pops into my head. So as frustrating as it might be for the fan base and for media members, I thought what he did today and handled it today was a sign of growth on his part.
Well, Vincent, is he going to delete Instagram off his phone, or is he going to use Instagram in the future?
He should, probably. That's probably your best bet. And look, I don't know what happened, you know, with that whole social media post. It seems like he liked it. You know, I'll say that. But look, plenty of us have been scrolling, you know, on Twitter, let's just say, and I know that I've liked things.
Uh-oh.
That I like. I wasn't trying. I was just, my thumb was pushing that thing as fast as I could, right? And so let's be honest, right? I know you've done it too. You'd probably be lying if you said you didn't.
No, so, not yet. Okay. I've said some things, not yet.
And it is an honest mistake. Now, I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I'm also not saying I know definitively that he meant to do that, right? You know what I'm saying? So, but the best way to protect yourself against that happening is just don't even bother doing it. You know, don't bother looking at things on social media, whether it's IG or X or whatever the case might be. Just focus on what you have to do, and that's, you know, coaching your football team.
Vincent Bonsignor is joining us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Eventually, Devontae is going to move. Is it going to be another, you know, month until the trade deadline? You know, what do they get in return? We don't know. What do you believe the rest of this season is going to look like for the Raiders? This is Brock Bowers' time now, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's the other part of this that we haven't even gotten into. The Raiders got a up-close view of life without Devontae on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns, and it wasn't all that bad. You know, what's interesting about this is if you go all the way back to when Devontae joined the Raiders, their offense actually digressed. And I'm not putting that on Devontae at all. The quarterback play has been the primary culprit there. But even Derek struggled at times with the spectrum of such a huge focal point to your offense, right? Between the money that Devontae Adams makes, his stature in an offense, every week you go into a game as a coaching staff and really as a quarterback, and it's impossible to get this out of your head in real time when you're playing. You know, you got to get 17, let's say 15 targets a game, right? 10 to 15 targets a game. That's like priority number one. And whether they want to admit it or not, that is the case. And so there were times where it just felt forced. Sometimes you feel obligated to, hey, you got to get Devontae involved in this game, ASAP. And for various reasons, he's Devontae Adams. He's great. He makes a lot of money. If he's not getting touches, you're probably going to hear about that a little bit, you know. And so that's just a thought that goes into every game. Well, that thought was no longer there, present, on Sunday. And guess what? A whole bunch of dudes touched the ball. It looked fluid in a lot of ways. There's a lot that they need to clean up without question. But you can sense and you can feel that the Raiders were playing with a little bit more of a freedom to just be able to spread the ball around organically as it came, who had the hot hand, what players were working, rather than doing that and then also understanding got to get the ball to number 17. So they saw that up close and personal, and it really didn't look bad. And so I think that gives them a little bit of confidence moving forward. Not to say that they're a better team without Devontae, but it could be different, and in some ways it could be a little bit better without that burden. So, and there is talent on this team. Brock Bowers is a stud. Trey Tucker is a heck of a football player. Jacoby Myers was the Patriots' leading receivers the 2 years prior to him joining, the Raiders. We talked to him today. He's like, I'm used to being the guy. I know that the ball got spread around a lot in New England when he was there, but he was their number one receiver. for a couple of years. So he's played that role before. Michael Mayer will eventually come back, and he's another, you know, piece to that puzzle. So I think they understand that we could probably survive without Devontae, get uh-huh. something for him. And this season doesn't have to be – this isn't a situation where you're just throwing in the towel. They feel like they can compete and win games wow. With or without Devontae Adams. And it's just – that's a whole other issue. It means them playing not near perfect football, but checking off all the necessary boxes that a team that's at this talent level across the board and with that quarterback – there's just necessary boxes that you have to check off. They did that against the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens and won. They didn't against the Carolina Panthers at all in any phase, and they got the roof blown off of them. And so they know that what it could look like if they don't check off those boxes and what it looks like when they do check off those boxes. So this doesn't have to be dire straits. It will be more of a challenge for sure, but it doesn't have to be dire straits. And I don't think that it's going to take that long to make a deal. I don't think the Raiders want this to linger. I don't think Devontae wants this to linger, and I think there's teams out there that are motivated to get him on their team as quickly as possible.
Where do you think he ends up, Vince? Last question.
That's a great question. Part of me says, if you're in the New York Jets and you're Aaron Rodgers and you're Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, if they don't win, they're probably going to be out of a job. And you know that the star quarterback wants them, and you know Devontae probably would love to be there. How can you, as the Jets, and I'm sure their fan base right now is pretty fired up about the possibility of getting Devontae, and he would make a difference on that team, and this is a wide-open AFC, maybe outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a lot of teams that are bunched up and probably on par with one another, you know, in terms of talent. If you're the Jets, how can you let him get traded someplace else, right? I mean, I'm not saying overpay for him, but don't you have to probably put the best offer out there for him or top whatever the offer is, even by a little bit, to make sure that you keep him or get him to New York and keep him out of the hands of the Buffalo Bills, who are also interested. There's a few other teams in the AFC that are. So I'd have to say the Jets are the favorites only because there's so much motivation for them to improve on any offer in order to make sure that he goes there to New York, where he probably wants to, or one of the places that he wants to be, and ready-made situation with Aaron Rodgers. But if not there, I could see the Buffalo Bills. I could see the Pittsburgh Steelers. I could see the New Orleans Saints jumping in there. So I don't think there's going to be a lack of teams that are interested. It will be tricky. You know, you're talking about teams that have to have $13 million under this cap to be able to fit his current deal in there. Plus, you know, there's teams in October that just don't have money in the budget to be able to find $13 million to pay him. So somebody is probably going to have a conversation with their owner to say, hey, what do you think about Devontae Adams? I love him. Great. What do you think about us trading for him? That would be great. Just so you know, we'd have to find another – I need another $13 million in the budget. What? You didn't mention that part. You know, you're going to have that conversation with the owner. And there's probably some that would be all right for Devontae Adams. I'll give you that $13 million. But there's probably some others that are like, no, we don't have the money. Now, the Raiders can help – appease a deal if they agree to pay down some of that salary. Think about the Denver Broncos a couple of years ago with the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams were, you know, at that point out of cash and you know, up against it on the salary cap. But they told the Denver Broncos, look, if you pay the salary down, we'll give you a second and a third round pick for a 32-year-old Von Miller who was just a rental for the Los Angeles Rams, and they won the Super Bowl that year. So that's one way that the Raiders, if Mark Davis and ownership is willing to pay down some of that salary, they could probably help create an even bigger market and maybe create more of a return for themselves as well.
Well, let's see how creative Mark Davis and Telesco can be. Hey, Vincent, where can people follow you and all of your work, man? Fill us in.
Yeah, VegasNation.com is where where all my written work can be found. It's Las Vegas Review Journal. We call it VegasNation.com. I'm also on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. Locally, or LVSportsNetwork.com. 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. I co-host a radio show, the Morning Tailgate Show, out on Raiders Nation Radio. So that would be where you could find me.
Hey, Vincent, I appreciate the time. I know the Raiders are going to keep you busy, okay?
Always. Thank you very much.
No doubt about it. That Vincent Bonsignor, Raiders Nation. Las Vegas Review Journal. Go ahead and check it out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break when we come back on the other side. You know, speaking of all of these coaches, whether it's Rob Saleh or Antonio Pearson and some of the issues that they're currently handling, there's a coach in Tallahassee. He has a major issue on his hands. We'll talk about that. I'll give you a top six list at the top of the hour. We're going to go through some of the most dysfunctional teams in sports right now.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to think. You heard me. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Thank you so much to Vincent Bonsignor for joining us in the last break to talk all things Raiders, especially the trade involving Davante Adams. We don't know where he's going. We don't know what he's going to do. And shout outs to Vincent as well. I give him credit. He showed love to Antonio Pierce for how he's been handling, you know, being the head coach of the Raiders up until now, except for the, you know, the Instagram thing. Put the Instagram down if you're a head coach. Come on. Do better than that. At least stand by it. But he kind of just killed the whole situation. Didn't answer anything about anything, really. And so we'll see what happens with Davante Adams. Yeah, I think there's a good and strong reason for him to end up with the New York Jets, something that was pretty much predicted months ago in the summertime. Wild, wild stuff. And with all these coaches that we've discussed, Rob Saleh will probably have to pick up Davante Adams from the airport. I can probably expect that if the trade goes down. Aaron Rodgers is going to go tell him to pick him up. Oh, how about this? Good. Baltimore Orioles eliminated from the postseason as well. Kansas City knocks them off. 2-1, the final. Shout out to everybody in Baltimore who's probably mad at me right now. But anyway, speaking of coaches, you don't have to go too far from here in Georgia. I can go right on to Tallahassee. Shout out to everybody down there who had to deal with that awful storm last week. Mike Norvell is another coach. They're gonna give this man the boot. It's just a matter of when. DJ Uiagalelei has now been told to go ahead and have a seat. This man has a 53% completion rating, 4 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. He's dealing with a busted up finger. Brock Glenn is going to go out there and get the start. They just lost to SMU. It's just bad all the way around. Who would have thought that a team that in the preseason was ranked number 10 in the AP polling just lost to SMU, not even ranked. They have a record of 1-4. People are looking at this man, Mike Norvell, and they want to give him the boot. Hickey, they lost another recruit?
Another one. Can you blame him?
Yeah, people are dropping like flies. Malik Clark, the wide receiver, said, I ain't going. I'm leaving. This is the third four-star recruit to say, I ain't going to the Noles since the season started. And FSU, you thought it was bad when Jordan Travis got hurt yesterday. Last year, everything just continued to fall from there. They fell out of postseason playoff contention. They have now fallen into the toilet. And Mike Norvell is having to answer questions now about his quarterback. Like, hey, would Uiagalelei, would he have still played if he didn't have a busted up hand? Listen to what Mike Norvell said.
I was going to, I mean, when we had the pick six, I mean, that was a, you know, it was going to be an opportunity for, you know, Brock to go in there, and it was, I think, 13 minutes or something in the fourth quarter, I believe. And, you know, I was making the change at that point. I'll say this, it was a, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we go back and look in the game, and DJ, you know, did make a lot of good throws that, you know, throughout the course of the game, some good decisions. He made some poor decisions and a couple bad throws that but you know, you got to surround and you got to help the quarterback position, and I don't think we've done a good job of that consistently.
Come on, man, the whole team sucked. Okay, can we just leave it there? The whole team sucked, and Uiagalelei sucks too. We got a bunch of people in the Pacific Northwest who know that. We got a bunch of people in the South who know that guy sucks. And this is what you're stuck with. Jordan Travis is hopefully the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. And you got to look at DJ Uiagalelei. Ain't nobody want this guy. Mike Norvell is going to be shown the door. It's pretty hilarious. Brock Glenn, he spoke and he says, you know what? We're all rallying together. Yeah, I'm sure.
It's been a great week of prep. The team's coming together, cleaning up some details. I think we're looking really good, real confident. Obviously, film room as well. Just prepping with the guys, the receivers, etc. So it's been good.
Ironically, Clemson is up next. Could we have more of a joke here? They need to throw DJ Uiagalelei out there just for giggles. Mike Norvell, this man, they're going to show him the door. And at that point, that's not going to be a joke, especially the fact that his contract doesn't end until 2031 and firing him would cost them $65 million. They're going to figure something out. They're not letting this guy coach the team next year. Not at all. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Maybe Rob Saleh can pick him up from the airport. Maybe they can ride off into the sunset together. I don't know where they'd go. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's time for a new top six list. It's time to take a look at some of the most dysfunctional teams in the world of sports right now. I know you have some ideas, and I got answers. Top six dysfunctional teams. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.